Father, I thank you. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for your local church. Thank you for the many, many local churches meeting across our county, our country, the world this morning. Speak a blessing out on everyone that's preaching the word this morning. Hallelujah. Just let it be a blessing to people's hearts. Thank you for your word, Father. Thank you that it's being preached this morning here and across the globe. So I speak out understanding for those listening to these words, every other word, but especially these words this morning. I speak out understanding so that these seeds, once they're planted, will not be stolen. These seeds will be planted and will germinate and grow and produce fruit, fruit that we all so desire in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Awesome. Hallelujah. Okay. God's love. We're still on God's love. I will get back to 1 Thessalonians eventually. But I'm going to carry on this week from last week, obviously. I really didn't need to say that, did I? We've got this kind of season, a sort of mini-series. Well, you know what my mini-series are like. I don't know how long it'll be. But it's kind of mini-series that Nunzi kicked off while I was away. About God's love and how we need a deeper revelation of it and a wider and a higher revelation of it. And it's been good. I've been enjoying it. I've been blessed by it. But you know what? I'm really blessed by the Thursday nights. I love the discussions we're having. Really sorry I'm going to miss this Thursday night. However, you guys can cope without me. So, but I loved this week's Thursday night discussion, because you come to the Sunday morning. If you've been on the Thursday night, you hear so much of what you've heard there. I'm a great stealer, user of words. And on Thursday night, Nunzi shared again about how God's love is for everyone, as in the whole world. And for God so loved the world, God so loved the cosmos. That's the universe and everybody in it. But included in that is the individual. And we need to grasp that God's love, as well as for the cosmos, is also for the individual. And I think it's more important that we believe that we understand that. You know, I think it's great that God loves everybody else. Yeah, hallelujah. But I think it's fantastic he loves me. That's more important for me than it is for you. And his love for you is more important for you than his love for me. So we need to get that. Just need to get that. Get it into our heads, into our hearts, about this individual love he has for each single one of us. And we need to know that. And, I mean, Dave Blessam kind of opened up on Thursday saying how difficult it can be sometimes to believe that God loves you. Because we know us. Try not to look at anything in particular, you know, as I say that, but God knows what we're like. Yet amazingly, he still loves us. So it can be quite difficult that sometimes to transfer that love for mankind onto a love for us. And I think most of us have been there to a certain extent in some points of our lives. Found that difficult. Maybe finding it difficult at the moment. What else did Nunzi mentioned how much she loved 1 John 4, but also passages like 1 Corinthians 13, Psalm 139, and using her phrase that made God's love, or that makes God's love, intimate and personal. And that's what I aim to focus on this morning. His intimate love for you. His personal love for you. And I had been thinking about preaching on Psalm 139 again during the week. We'd had a walk and Nancy said, oh, what are you preaching on this week then? She's always fishing for a wee preview. I said, well, I'm not really sure, although kind of knowing I was probably going to do Psalm 139. And then she mentioned Psalm 139 on Thursday. I've taught and preached on this so many times. But you know what? It's always a blessing when I study it out. It's always a blessing to teach from this passage. And I got, oh boy, I've got like one. I know, you know, last week I told you it's not all about experiences and it's about knowing the words. Man, I got a spine tingling thing last week when I had this revelation about how intimate his love for me was. So hopefully I'll try and get that across this morning. So let's read Psalm 139. Just want to read the first five verses though. And then we'll do some more later. But Psalm 139, 1 to 5. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hands upon me. Now, I was planning to read the whole of Psalm 139 when I sat down during the week to prep this message. But I stopped after verse 5 because someone jumped out at me as I read this verse, how personal it was. You see how many times David writes the word me, my, and mine in those verses. Count them with me. Or as I read it again, just count them. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Thankfully, I've got it right. 11.
Yeah.
11 times in 5 verses. Me, mine, my. This is a very personal and intimate piece of poetry, piece of writing. This is David writing about what God feels about him. And it is concern, and it's interest, it's compassion. What encompasses all that? It's love. David knows he is loved by God. David wrote this. He knows he's loved by God. Ah, but Vic. You see, David's one of the elite. David's one of God's special ones, chosen by God for a mighty purpose, appointed, anointed for greatness. Of course, that's what God thinks about David. David's one of his special kids. Aye, that's true. David was anointed and appointed and chosen for greatness and did great things. But he was lazy. He was a fornicator and he was a murderer. And for me, that is what makes this psalm so special. That this murderer could write this. This bone idol guy who slept all day, got up later on the day, had a looky about what he could see, and got himself into trouble. That guy knows God loves him. That murderer knows God loves him. He could write this, amen? See, David knew that his performance had nothing to do with God's love for him. Because it's God's kind of love. It's the way God loves. It's different from us. David knew that. He said, well, how do you know he knew it? Because he wrote Psalm 139. If he didn't know the love of God, he wouldn't have written that. Would he? Oh, woe is me, what a worm I am. How terrible and naughty I've been. That's what Psalm 139 would have been. But oh no, You know everything about me. You love me. You're interested in me. You think I'm great. You think the sun, you know, kind of. That's the kind of thing that is David knows that God thinks about him. I love this. It's like poetry, this. I'm not really into poetry or art, as Pauline kind of knows, but some poetry. But this is just poetic. It's beautiful. It's amazing writing, especially when you realize the type of person that wrote it. God's love for David was unconditional. It was constant. It was unrelenting. It was nonstop. And it was not dependent upon his performance. It was God's kind of love. Totally different from human love. It was personal. It was intimate. And it's the same for you. What was good enough for David, it's good enough for you. The same is true for you. You know one of my favorite verses that I like to use a lot is Acts 10:34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." Now, it's not that he doesn't respect people. Look at the Greek meaning. It means he has no favorites. He has no special ones. Well, he has. Everyone. Everyone's his favorite. Everyone's his special kid. Everyone's his favorite kid. Probably me more than you lot. But I mean, everybody is special to him. Everybody is his favorite. And in this sense, there are no super dupers in the kingdom. No super dupers. We're all the same. Treated the same. Does the same for Pauline, for Nancy, for Michelle, for me. The rest, does the same for everyone. Same for David, the same he does for Paul, for example. Oh, they're really super dupers. No, I mean, Paul was accomplice to murder as well, remember? Now, I'm not going to ask, just in case. Kind of assuming. Let's not get down that road. What he does for David and Paul, these alleged super dupers, but just normal people. I mean, you know what? David wasn't even as special as you. Why wasn't David as special as you? He was under the law, we're under grace. He wasn't filled with the indwelling Holy Spirit. Think there's another lesson. We could do so much more than David. That's for another day. But God has no favorites, no super dupers. What he does for them, he does for us. And what David writes about himself, we could write it about ourselves. We could have written Psalm 139. Well, I couldn't because I've got no imagination and I haven't got poetic bone in my body. But, well, I can do all things through him, I suppose. But never mind. What David wrote about himself in terms of how God feels about him is just as applicable to you. Psalm 139 is you. It's all about you. You could have written Psalm 139 because it's all about you. What does it say about you? God has sought you out. God has found out about you and he knows you. He understands you. He is aware of all that you do, whether you're standing or sitting. Under any and all circumstances, under every situation, he is aware of you. He knows your very thoughts. Indeed, he knows every thought. Well, that's scary. He knows every thought you have ever had, are having. God, I wish Vic would hurry up. I've got chicken in the oven. You know, I need a drink. He knows every thought you are going to have. Still loves you. I don't know why I'm looking at you, Carol, but he is intimately interested in what you are interested in. He is diligent in knowing about you. I'm just covering all the Hebrew meanings here. He is diligent in knowing about you. He has regard for you. He knows you better than you know yourself. It's as if you are his pet project, his hobby, his preoccupation. He knows everything about you and is interested in everything about you. According to the Message Bible, he knows when you leave and when you get back, you are never out of his sight. He knows what you've said. He knows what you're saying. He knows what you're going to say. He is with you at all times. He's always around you. He is before you. He is behind you. He is touching you. He is making and maintaining contact with you. He is protecting you. He is looking out for you. He's looking after you. That's what the Hebrew means for Psalm 139:1-5. It's all about you, showing you his concern for you, his intimate and personal feelings towards you. Makes me think of a question. Why? Why? Why does he think and feel this about me? These things we've just seen from Psalm 139:1-5. Well, if you were listening last week, it's because he is love. He loves you because he created you. We sang about the Creator King this morning. Wonderful song. Look at Psalm 139:13. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Not I am fearfully and wonderfully evolved. Fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. You are marvelous. Hallelujah. And that my soul knoweth right well. I love that. I know that right well. David, obviously from Yorkshire, he knows that right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book, all my members were written, which is continuance, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. Yes. David knew he was created. David knew he had been created. And he knew that he was marvelous. And if what was good enough for David is good enough for you. You were created by this loving God. Now, I love the lyrics in that song. It's like the God who created the universe and its vastness and its immenseness and its awesomeness created me. And that universe is nothing compared to me. I am the pinnacle of his creation. And I'm not being arrogant. I know my Bible. You are the pinnacle of his creation. And the hand, I love it. What is it? The hand that created the star reaches down and touches you, touches me. That's awesome. You were created by this loving God and you are marvelous too. What does the Hebrew mean for marvelous? I love this. And remember, this is talking about you. You are marvelous, miraculous, wonderful, a thing too high. I love that meaning. You are a thing too high. You are singular and you are unique. Now, I know some people struggle with this. Some people say, oh, Vic, I can't say I'm marvelous. But we'll change the way you're viewing it. Stop thinking that this is talking about you, in a sense, as in who you are, what you do, what you think. Stop making it about your personality and your actions and start thinking about this, that about you. You're speaking about part of his creation. So, of course, that's marvelous. His works are marvelous. That's what the word says. His works are marvelous, wonderful, unique, a thing too high. But then you are one of his works. So just, that might make it easier. Stop thinking about you with your personality, your actions, your thoughts, your deeds, and start thinking about you being a part of his creation. And that's marvelous. Because there's nothing in this universe or this earth that he did not create. And because of that, that's exactly what you are, marvelous. A wonderful and unique piece of creation. And I had this thought as I was thinking about this. Lord said, now this might sound arrogant, but it's the same for you. The Lord said, and creation would be incomplete without you. Pauline, creation would be incomplete without you. Amen. It just would not be the same. You wouldn't have people jealous of your hair. Good old Josh. Josh is back. Hallelujah. All of you. Creation I'm looking at Josh now. Josh, creation would be incomplete without you. You are wonderful. You are marvelous. You are unique. I love that. Got an amen, Josh? Amen. Hallelujah. See when I want a response from him, he doesn't give me one. Hallelujah. Creation would be incomplete without all of you. Just, it wouldn't be the same. This wouldn't be the same. He created us and he loves us. Most of you know that my Jay is a composer. He creates music. I just can't comprehend how he does that. Obviously got it from his mother. That part of him. Got his good looks and handsomeness and his golf skills from me. Whatever it was. But he loves his music. That's what he does. He loves his music. He loves what he's created. We were around seeing Pauline and Steve the other night. And Pauline was taking us through one of her pictures on the wall. Sorry, a screen print? A screen print. The screen print on the wall. Now, I could see from her enthusiasm, she loved her creation. I didn't understand it. Genesis? Okay. I just didn't get it. I didn't get it. I can't do modern art. But I could see Pauline loved her creation. God the Creator through Jesus Christ created you. And of course he loves his creation. Why? Because he is love. But also because he made you, he formed you, he molded you, he shaped you. And something really challenging came to me as I was writing this part. A thought came into my head, it actually brought me to tears, but I'm going to get through it this morning, I'm not going to cry. God said, and that, Vic, is why you should love yourself. And he's saying that to you this morning. He's saying, I created you. You're marvelous. You're part of my creation. I molded you. I shaped you. I made you. And that, friends, is why you should love yourself. Because you're his workmanship. You're his creation. His works are marvelous. His works are unique. His works are too high. Singular. That's another sermon. I spoke recently how we need to care for ourselves and look after ourselves. Yeah, we should be loving ourselves as well. There will never be another you. He created you. He molded you. He loves you in God's way of loving. Agape love, unconditional, constant, never ending. His love is personal. His love is intimate. And it takes me to my favorite verse in Psalm 139. So let's read 7 to 10. If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me and thy right hand shall hold me. Oh, man, verse 10. I've spoken on that a number of times, but it's a verse that's easier to show than to tell. And I'm not sure if everybody's seen this yet. I think there's a few maybe not. So I need Missy, I need you up here to help me. I'm going to show you verse 10. It says, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. This is what that verse looks like. That's what this verse looks like over here. But thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. And nunsy's nunsy. Just the way I like it, I'm God. It's just like being at home.
And I'll let you think that.
And you let me think that. This is what that verse means. God is holding our hand to guide us, take us, but he's also using his hand, his right hand, to hold us and comfort us. And what's so great about this is that Nunsy might now and again just try and go off the rails. God, that was a bit strong. We haven't practiced this. I wasn't ready for that. But I can gently guide Nunsy where I would want her to go. You're taking your part too well. Thanks, darling. That's what that verse is showing. But what is that verse? It's intimate. It's relational. It's caring. It's concern. You're cold now, you're not there. It's warming. It's comforting. And these verses talk about many different places where Nunsy could be. Heaven, hell, that's just meaning everywhere. Any possible place Nunsy could be, or David could be, God's there with him. But not keeping his distance, not staying out of things. There. God is leading, holding at the same time. Intimate and personal, leading and guiding. And at the same time, comforting, warming. I should have written down. And he's doing that right now for you. Right, and he's holding your hand. Holding your hands. And this is my revelation this week. There is something about holding another person's hand that is personal and intimate and powerful. This is I watched a nonsense program recently, but towards the end of this, there was a bomber and people were dying. There was two people lying next to each other, and I know it's just a film, but just instinctively they both kind of reached out and held each other's hands. It was so powerful. There is something, that's the thing for me this week, the picture of God holding my hand. There's a real build in my revelation about this verse. When I'm out walking with Nunsy, we hold hands. And we hold hands the same way all the time, and it just kind of slips in naturally. We do it without thinking, personal and intimate. And I remember a funny story. When I was working over in Myanmar 3 or 4 years ago, I can't remember, over in business there, this client had a hotel, the client that I was working with, as well as on a distillery, he had hotels and whatever. And this hotel had a health club. So we'd had a day in the distillery and we were going out for a meal, but he suggested just go into the health club, just do whatever you want. Have a swim, have a sauna, relax, have a massage on the house. It was on the house, Evelyn. So I just went and had like the whole lot. had a swim, had a sauna, and then I had a Thai massage. And it was fine. It was great. I mean, it was a little bit sore at times, but I was so relaxed. It was brilliant. But then she said, in her broken English, she was going to massage my arms, right? So she asked me to sit up so she could massage my arms. And to do that, she held my hand with her other hand and put her fingers in like that and held my hand and then was massaging this part of my arm. And it was so uncomfortable. It just felt so wrong. So I broke into a sweat. It was like, and it was hilarious because this thought popped into my head. I swear, this was the first thing that popped into my head. I hope Nunzi doesn't find out. Not that I've just been, for the last 30 minutes, I've just been lying half naked, letting a woman run her hands all over my body. No, not that. Just that she was now holding my hand. And it just didn't feel right. It felt too intimate. And I go, what was the first thing I did when I got home? Told Nunzi. Yeah. And she, it didn't mean anything. She was holding my hand, but it didn't mean anything. Did you just let that get out? In case she found out, you know? Just so intimate. It's just so powerful. About holding someone's hand. And God wants you to know this morning that he's holding your hand to lead you, to guide you, to comfort you. Why? Because he is love. Because he loves you. Because he created you. He also wants you to know that he is holding you with his right hand. Now, biblically, traditionally, the right hand, the right arm is a sign of strength. We have a strong God holding us, looking after us and comforting us and protecting us. But the other thing I got from the picture this week, God showed me, is he can do something else. Can back up here again. Back into the warm place. See what else he can do. See that? You probably didn't hear what I said, but it was a bit lovey-dovey. He can hold us, as he did before, and he can whisper in our ear, because he's right there. Whisper in us. In this position, he can talk to us. He can whisper to us. He can tell us how much he loves us. He can advise us. He can counsel us. He can warn us. He can teach us. And I saw that on Saturday morning. Sitting at my desk, I was thinking about this. I shut my eyes and I saw it. Now, it also showed me my biases and my prejudices and what I've been growing up with, because it was like the Aryan Scandinavian Jesus, you know, standing next to me, white skin, long blonde hair. You know, that Jesus, the Jesus that I kind of know. But I saw him. My imagination, or I don't know if it was a picture or a vision or I just saw it in my brain, but it was really powerful. I saw it. Jesus, like I said, the typical Jesus, Scandinavian, cloak, sandals, long hair, beard. But holding me. I saw me there, him holding my hand, his right arm around me. And I can see it now. Just holding my hand, speaking into my ear. Lovely picture. And he wants to be there. He's trying to do that for all of us. We just need to listen. I don't often do this, but I want to try someone this morning. In a recent sermon, Nunzi asked us to imagine ourselves resting against Jesus. Do you remember that? I couldn't do that. I just couldn't. I couldn't see it. And then we had a men who meeting, and one of the guys on there said, you know, men are not good at speaking to each other, but we speak when we're shoulder to shoulder. And that's some of the best chats I have, standing next to my mates. We're not even looking at each other. We're watching 22 idiots chasing a ball. And we have some deep meaningfuls as we're kind of going like that, shoulder to shoulder. So I couldn't see myself wrestling against Jesus. I told Nancy this. I said, you know, darling, but I saw it. I saw me standing next to him. And I can do this. Standing side by side with Jesus. So I just want to try something. You don't have to if you don't feel comfortable. But if you want to try this, stand up. You don't have to if you don't want to. But stand up, shut your eyes. If you need a little bit of space, move to the side a little bit. But shut your eyes and see yourself. Can you see yourself standing there? Mm-hmm. Right, see. Spot on, Josh. So now what I want you to do, Josh, I want you to see Jesus standing next to you, however you picture him. It could be the Aryan Scandinavian, it could be Jesus like the Chosen, it could, whatever. Just see Jesus standing next to him, next to you. Feel him holding your left hand. Feel him with his right arm around your shoulder. Just feel that, see it in your mind. And then I want you to listen. See him leaning in to your ear. And just in the quiet, just listen. If you heard anything, just hold on to it. What's he saying to you this morning? What is he saying to you this morning? I did that yesterday morning and I heard him saying, Vic, I love you. I really love you. Just keep going. Just hang in there and just keep going. So I don't know what he's saying to you, but just listen. Because you see, he wants to hold you. He wants to stand by you. He wants to whisper something in your ear. It's just for you. But whatever it is, it'll be loving, compassionate, concerning, caring. It'll be good. Because his love is intimate, it's personal, it's directed at you, it's aimed at you. And I just urge you to receive from him this morning. Amen.